9:21 on your Tuesday morning as KMAN's In Focus continues. Glad to be joined for the hour today by Manhattan City Manager Ron Fear, as well as Mayor Wynn Butler for their normal stop in to chat with us as the City Commission meets tonight with a number of items that are up on the agenda. We just talked about the Manhattan Museum of Art and Light a bit and some of what is going on there, but also one of the discussion items tonight has to do with the Flint Hills Discovery Center.
Right. And that's obviously a neighbor and a great was our anchor attraction component for the original Star Bonds. And it's a similar story of private sector folks stepping up and wanting to make some improvements. So the Discovery Center Foundation, the Flint Hills Discovery Center Foundation, which is formed several years ago to help improve and support the Discovery Center, has been doing some fundraising and had gotten permission from the commission to take on a project and a fundraising project to kind of redo the second story kids area of the facility. And so they've been working on that. They did take sent out a request for proposal for teams to submit proposals for that. And they had, I want to say they had 7 different submissions from different teams. They selected 3 teams that were interviewed and are recommending tonight the team that's led by McCowan Gordon Construction, who were the original contractors on the Discovery Center, by the way. BBN Architects, who are also a sub-consultant on the original facility, and a firm called Dimensional Innovations. I believe they're out of Kansas City. And then also a Rosamond Scalor Engineering. And labeling this as Kidscape is the event. They've done quite a bit of fundraising already. They're working towards a $1.3 million goal and are confident they'll reach that amount. Tonight, though, is phase one of the project, which will essentially be the design phase of the improvements within the facility, and are offering a lump sum service contract for that design by that team of $62,370, of which that cost will be covered by the foundation. We do have a little ceremonial check presentation planned for that. And then once they finish that design, they'll bring that back to the City Commission with a recommendation to move forward with phase two, which would be the actual construction of those improvements. Again, all with private funds. So another great story and some exciting improvements that will kind of transform that second floor area of the Discovery Center for the kids and create more indoor use opportunities throughout the calendar year.
One of the things that stands out is, I go back to your first comment about it being an anchor. As someone who has been out of state, came back to Manhattan to live, it is amazing to me what downtown has developed into. And the Discovery Center is such a dramatic part of that. But everything that has developed right along with it in downtown, it is a much different place than it was even just 20 years ago.
Well, that's true. And one of the interesting things is a lot of people just focus on the fact that, you know, plans for the Discovery Center originally were that it was going to bring in lots of people and at least break even. And that's never really come to pass. But the other things you mentioned were the side benefits that are really not being counted. And I think you have to consider that. What I like about this Kidscape project here is the city isn't going to be investing any more money, but it will take the Discovery Center and maybe change the feel of it. Because a lot of people have said, well, I go once and I see it and it's nice, but there's not something that's going to bring me back there repeatedly. Mm-hmm. That's the message I get. This Kidscape thing, is going to be closer. A lot of people like the Discovery Center that's in Topeka because it was designed to get kids in there repeatedly. And so I think when this is done, a lot of folks will be able to take the youngsters up there. You know, we have bad weather and things like that. And I think it will generate a lot more traffic in the Discovery Center. And I think we've got to focus on projects like this so that we can, you know, take it out of the red and put it 100% into the black as far as revenue generator.
It's also a matter of not just renewal, if you will, but the opportunity to extend what the Discovery Center is able to mean, rather than keeping it as a static display or static displays inside of it all the time.
Yeah, we do have the, you know, rotational displays. Like one of the interesting things now, it's focused on kids, is the Harley display that's down there right now. And if you got some youngsters, you should go down there and visit that, because that's a pretty nice thing. And of course, in July, they're going to have a bunch of Harleys there, guys dressed as Santa Claus riding around. Christmas in July, you know, comes up next month. So that's another good event that they're kicking off down there.
As you talk about the Discovery Center and what it has meant for downtown, Ron, it really, as I said, it's a dramatic difference down there than what it has been in the past. But that Discovery Center has really been able to drive a lot of that development.
It did. It was the attraction component, key for getting the $50 million in star bonds. The Discovery Center itself was around $18 million to construct, and then another $8 million in the exhibits, which was a city obligation. The star bonds paid for the building. But, you know, it really created a unique area with the Blue Earth Plaza, the park. Obviously, the parking structure paid, about half of that parking structure was paid with star bonds, and then it generated the support for the conference center and the hotels and the mixed use and the other two hotels. So it's really a nice area. We get a lot of compliments of being one of the few areas in the state and the region where you have a downtown setting for your main conference center activities, that you can walk downtown, you know, the mall in great proximity, the thriving business district. And then the North District has really been the economic engine, that section of retail where we're capturing those state sales taxes at Best Buy and Dick's and the restaurants and Hy-Vee and those areas. So when those bonds get paid off, all of that property tax revenue and sales tax revenue will start to come back to the city of Manhattan, which will pay off for us even more so. And that's anticipated to be around 2025, 2026.
So not very long in the future if you really look at it as a project. Let's go to the phone line. We've got a caller on the horn with us. Good morning. You're on with Mayor Wynn Butler and City Manager Ron Fear.
You know, talking about developing business in town there, you developed the north end of K-State roads and all, and going for the arts and the good-looking parts of town. You know, even the infrastructure money that you're getting now, you put together with your legislature people you have meetings with, and you can really do something. You know, Boston has a beautiful bridge in town that they advertise, and San Francisco has a beautiful bridge that they advertise. There was a bridge built across the Tuttle Creek Lake in 1962 without infrastructure money, and you could build a Marlette Bridge, a beautiful bridge to draw more people into Manhattan, and also have an escape route. So thank you so much for your consideration.
That being said, there are things. It's interesting that he brings up the bridge. The old railroad trestle was an item that was brought up the other day to me because a group of friends of mine who had been students at K-State got together. We golfed at Colbert Hills on Saturday, 25th anniversary of this group getting together to golf, and that's why we put it at Colbert Hills. But one of the guys in the group went out for his run on the linear trail that morning before we went to the golf course, and he said it was a great reminder of how great the trail is, because not only have the plans been so painstakingly set out to build it as a larger trail, the sections makes sense, and you get something along the lines of the railroad trestle being turned into a big part of that trail, and he enjoyed that on his run. That was his picture for the morning.
Well, that's a great comment, and certainly, you know, the need for alternatives for access to the east or something that we'll certainly have to deal with in the future, whether, you know, whether that it's a bridge or some other rerouting or expansion, I think needs a lot of other study. The another bridge across that waterway would have potential implications on floodplain elevations and restrictions and all of those sort of things. So it would be to be a very long span bridge, not to change any of those floodplains. So, and whether or not it should line up with Marlette or not is just another issue. And so the, you know, one of the things that has been identified is for a substantial engineering study. That would look at locations for where that might be, you know, as an alternative to that, to improve the river road to the Barnes Bridge and upgrade that Barnes Bridge where you've already got a crossing. And that's not going to impact some of the flows or wildlife. All of that is bald eagle nesting habitat. So there's lots of hoops to jump through for a construction project like that. Not saying it doesn't need to be done, you know, where is it, you know, on the overall priority list is that area continues to grow. No question about needing alternatives. Certainly should be looked at.
We hear about the bridge almost every week, and it's a constant discussion with, you know, the commission from Pottawatomie County. But, you know, like I used to, and I want to say, you know, we formed years ago because federal government made us the Metropolitan Planning Organization, and they're supposed to be in charge of big projects like this. And they determined it wasn't feasible. They did a little study a few years ago and basically did not put their support behind it. And until that happens, I don't believe that this project is ever going to get off the ground past people just discussing it. And I actually went down there in a kayak and rode around just to look at, you know, at ground level, water level, I guess, what it looks like. And Ron, you're absolutely right. You know, that bridge would be huge and cost, you know, some people say as much as $40 million to put that in there. And then to have it run into Casement Road, I don't know what kind of traffic nightmare that causes, you know, in Manhattan. So, you know, I was always in favor of them looking at the Barnes Road thing. But I'm convinced, you know, it's going to have to be an MPO project. They've got to recommend it. KDOT would have to get involved. And then people have also discussed, well, if you put an alternate route there, only one of them can be designated a state highway, and then the city ends up doing what? Having to maintain part of it. And so there's all kinds of implications on this bridge.
A challenge, no matter what way you look at that one going forward. But good question. And again, we thank the caller for checking in with us this morning and giving us those thoughts. When we continue in a moment, we've got more with Mayor Wynn Butler and City Manager Ron Fear. This is KMAN's In Focus.